Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
And so today we're going to talk about, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus. It's Easter, and I want to just show you why it still matters today. Because we think about things that happened a long time ago, and there are things that happened just even a couple years ago that we forget. In the moment, they seem like just huge events. But then we totally forget until Facebook reminds us, right? How many just love that Facebook on this day thing? Sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's like, I'd really rather forget that. You know, I'd rather forget that outfit, that hairdo. I'd rather forget that, right? But, you know, I was looking, you know, mine came up, and, you know, something that just seemed like such a big deal at the time, and it's like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, and it was on Easter 2 years ago, my hair dryer caught on fire. True story, all the men are like, so, and all the women are like, I feel for you, right? While I'm drying my hair on Easter Sunday, it explodes and literally catches on fire in my house. And so almost caught my hair on fire. That'd be bad, right? I don't think I could pull bald. I don't think I could do it. My head's too big and it just wouldn't work, you know? But there's just some things in the moment, they seem like, man, this is, you know, but now I have a secondary hair dryer. Thank God, right? I got a backup. You know, but there's things that happen in our lives and we think, you know, oh, my favorite sports team lost, or, you know, I got dumped, or, you know, things that just seem like it's just going to be, you know, earth-changing, earth-shattering. But you know what? The only thing that really shook the earth was when Jesus walked out of the tomb. Amen? And so some things happen and in the moment we're like, oh, this is going to impact me forever, you know? But really what happened so long ago, over 2,000 years ago, still impacts me today. It still impacts you. It still impacts the world. Because today, over 1 billion people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. This event literally cut time in two. We have AD and BC. And so every time we write 2018, we're writing 2018 AD. That means after death. After the death of Jesus, his death split time. It's a huge event. And so we think about, you know, why does this day, why do we still celebrate it? Why is it still such a big deal? Why is it the Super Bowl of Sundays for church? Why? Well, let's look back at Matthew 28 and let's see when it happened. Let's see what happened up here. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to show you today just how the resurrection is still at work. Amen? And that's good news for you, and that's good news for me. So here in Matthew 28, it says in verse number 1, this is after Jesus, the Son of God. Let's remember what happened on Good Friday. The Son of God himself, he had come down to earth. And the reason that Jesus came to earth, the reason that God came to earth was to show us what God is like, to show us who God is. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, the way I act is the way the Father acts. What I say is what the Father says. And so Jesus came to show us what God is like, who God is. And so when Jesus was walking the earth, we know, because just we know that on Good Friday, Jesus, the Son of God, I mean, think about that for a second. He's the Son of God himself. And he came down to earth. That had to be pretty tough. That's a step down, right, from heaven? Yeah. You know, he's got to deal with people just like you and me. Uh-huh. That's, hello, right? He comes down, and then he dies on the cross, a brutal death. The death of the crucifixion, we learn from scholars and people who study this kind of thing, that the death of crucifixion, it's really asphyxiation. You die from not enough air. And it's supposed to be one of the most painful, most brutal ways to die. And so here the Son of God, even before he got to the cross, the Bible says that he was beaten. He had stripes on his back that cut literally to the bone. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his head. The Bible says that he was beaten so badly that he no longer looked human. How many know that's pretty bad? And so that's before he even went to the cross and had nails put in his hands and his feet. And then he slowly died. And then to make sure he was dead, the Roman soldiers stuck a spear into his side. And Jesus, he died. He did all of that for you and for me. Because what he was doing on the cross, people say, well, why did he do that? He was God. Why did he do that? He did that because he loves us so much. Because we have made mistakes. We have sinned, the Bible says. The word sin literally means to miss the mark. You missed it. And we've all missed it. And there's a price to pay for that. And Jesus said, I'll pay your debt. I'll pay your debt. The Son of God went to the cross to pay a debt he did not owe. All for us. You say, why would he do that? He did it for love. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he wants you to have a better life. He did it because he wants you to have a relationship with God the Father. He did it so you wouldn't have to. And so he did all of that because he loves us. And sometimes people have a misunderstanding of God. You know, they have this idea that God is out to get you, or God is angry with you, or God wants to keep things from you, or God, you know, you're out because of who you are or how you live or anything like that. Oh, you can't. And Jesus said, all can come. He died on the cross for everybody. Everybody. Think of like, oh, that person's never going to make it to heaven. Jesus would never do it for them. You know what? He did it for them. That's exactly who he did it for. And he did it all for love. I love the saying, and it says, the nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. Loved it. And when we think about this event that happened, and we understand that it's a historical event. And you know, and I love this, and I just want to talk to all the skeptics in the room. You know you're here. You know you're here. I love that you're here. I want to encourage you that God is not afraid of your questions. And it does not insult God to say, hey, what about the dinosaurs? That does not insult God. God has an answer for all your questions. God loves you, and he knows how your mind works, and he wants to answer those questions for you. But I want to encourage and just talk to all the skeptics in here to say, oh, this didn't happen. It didn't happen. Do you know in history, and you guys ready for some history? All right, let me put my school teacher hat on. In history, the way that things are proven to be true, even though we weren't there to see them, is by correlating stories. So the more events that happen that are documented through writing, through artifacts, through things like this, they support one another, right? Each of these things supports one another, and they tell the same story, but they come from different places and different sources. And so when you look back, nobody was there. Nobody's that old in here, right? You might be old, but you're not that old. So nobody was there. So we're like, how do we know this happened? The same way we know history happens, people write it down, people were there, and all these different sources come. And the more sources they have that agree on the same thing and tell the same story, it becomes historical fact. Amen. That's how it happens. Now here we go, history, you skeptics. When you think about things and people that you've never seen, but you believe that they exist because of history, because everybody tells that story. Do you know that compared to every other historical figure, there is more supporting proof, supporting document, supporting artifact, more support for the reality and the truth of the event of Jesus Christ than any other historical figure in all of history? The more we find the more it proves the reality of Jesus. But you know what? I don't need to look at big stacks of papers written thousands of years ago. Those are great. But more importantly, I see the reality of Jesus every day. I see the reality of Jesus and his resurrection power in the lives of people. I see the resurrection power of Jesus in my own life. I see it when people who have tried everything to change, but then they find Jesus and everything changes. I see it there. I see it in the miraculous, when something there's no possible way this can happen, but God. I see it today. And you know, and through the years, we've done lots of things on Easter. We've had plays, and we've done all kind of fun things. But this year, I wanted us to just be real. And I wanted you to hear and see the miraculous power of God in people's lives that you know. So it's not like somebody over, how many know you hear a miracle and you're like, oh, it's over in some other country, you know, or you see it on TV, and then that little skeptic part of you is like, I don't know. I think they're faking, right? Am I the only one? But when it's somebody that you know, somebody that you saw before and you see him now, somebody that you've watched just step after step after step, the power of God work in their life, and you're like, man, there's no explanation for that. That's God. It's not somebody on TV. It's not somebody in another country. It's somebody sitting right next to you. Miracles still happen. Yes. We serve a God of miracles, and they still happen. Sometimes when we're talking about, all we want to do is talk about the past, but God's a now God. Yes. Amen? God's moving now in the lives of people. And so today I want to just share with you testimonies that happen now. And we could pick lots of them. We could just have the front row give testimonies. I could give testimony of just the power of God, of just how God just works things out. And you're like, well, that's coincidence. Well, you know, coincidence is coincidence, but when coincidence happens all the time, it's not a coincidence anymore, right? That's just the power of God. Yes. And so when we think about, I want to show you, I didn't forget about Matthew 28. I know you thought I did, but I didn't. Matthew 28, let's look at what happened, and then let's see why it still matters today. Here we go. After the Sabbath, this is after Jesus has gone to the cross. This is after he was put, like we just sang about, in a tomb that was borrowed for 3 days. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, isn't that a bummer to be the other Mary? Right? It's like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They fainted. Let's keep going. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Verse number 6, he is not here. He has risen. I love this next line. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. And the angel said, now I have told you. And so what we see here is what happened on Easter Sunday morning. And as we join with the billion people around the world that are celebrating, and we say, why do we do that? The number one reason why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday is because it proved who Jesus was. Jesus said some amazing and outrageous statements. He said things like, I'm God. Now imagine if somebody from your hometown just all of a sudden at the age of 30 started telling everybody, hey, you know, I'm God, by the way. We'd be like, okay. But you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we think like, oh, the Bible's not for today, but the Bible is especially for today because here's something, times change. Times change, but here's something that doesn't really change. People. People don't really change that much. The same problems they were having in the Bible are the same problems we still have today. All the same problems. Yeah. So we may have smartphones and we may have gone to the moon and we may have done some things that people in the Bible would have thought we were just nuts to talk about. But the thing is, they still respond to things the same way we do. If somebody from your hometown started saying they were God, we'd roll our eyes and be like, whatever. Right? Whatever. And that's exactly how they were. Jesus never claimed to be a great teacher. Did you know that? Not once. He said, I am the Savior of the world. I am the Messiah. And he said this, I'm the only way to heaven. Incredible challenges, incredible claims. He said, I'm God come to earth in human form so you could know what God's like. He said, I'm going to prove it. Here's where we get it. I'm going to prove it. After they kill me, 3 days later, I'll come back to life. And so out of all the crazies who have said they're God, and there's been a lot, only one has proven it. His name is Jesus. And so the resurrection proves that Jesus is, sorry, I got a frog. Let me sing for you. Me, me, me. Here we go. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is. Amen? He's the only one. Did you know that they did a poll? They're called Gallup polls. George Gallup does these polls. And they found out that 84% of Americans say they accept the resurrection of Jesus Christ and believe it's a historical fact. Obviously, history is divided by the event. It's common knowledge. A lot of people saw it. But here's my question. So what? Why does it still matter? Why does something that happened so long ago still matter? Out of all the things that Jesus said, the crazy stuff that he said things like this in John 14, 19. He said, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive. Listen to this next part. And you're about to come alive. Yeah. Amen? Jesus is saying, listen, this resurrection thing that I'm going to do, it's not going to just affect me. It's going to affect you too. And I love this next verse in 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says, he included everyone in his death. So everyone could be included in his life. And I like this next part. He says, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. If you're here today and you're wondering what kind of church we are, we're a church that still believes in miracles. We still believe that God moves. We still believe that God shows up. We still believe that God is at work in us, that we are not without help. We are not without comfort. We are not without peace. We are not without power. We believe that. And you know what? We don't just believe it. We can prove it. Amen? Amen? Because we see the power of God. And so this Easter, I wanted to share some testimonies with you. I wanted to share testimonies with you. And so today we're going to share one during our service. And then you can go online and hear some more. And again, I could have called up 30, 40, 50 people or more and just said, hey, tell me what God has done in your life. I've seen it, but I want you to tell me. And so today we're going to watch a video and we're going to hear from someone who's right here. They're a real person. They don't live in another country. They're not somebody on TV that you don't know. It's somebody that many of you saw the first night she came to church. And you've seen God move in her life. You've seen God show up. You've seen change. And she's here today. And so as we hear Rachel's testimony this morning, I want to remind you, miracles still happen. Caleb and Rachel, will you stand up and show everybody you're real? We're going to post this video online, and on that, there's a couple other testimonies on there as well. And just one testimony is Mike Prediger, and he talks about, you know, really having a tough home life, and then, you know, doing a lot of drugs, going all the way to doing heroin, just really being lost, but God. Amen? God came and changed his life. Now he owns his own business. He's one of the rocks of BBC. We're so thankful for him. Another testimony is, many of us have heard this testimony, but it's just one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever had the privilege. They're all so powerful. I remember Rachel texting me one day, and she was giving God the glory for having money for groceries because she had come so far. And now look how far she's come. Amen? And just so many of these guys and so many other people. But of course, you know, Josh's testimony is also just incredible, from being homeless, being addicted to drugs, having a lot of issues. And just, I mean, it's like we just saw, how many of us just saw it? We just saw God change his life. So much so that we let him marry Jessica. You know, it had to be God, or Pastor Steve would never let that happen. There was a lot of praying going on there. There was a lot of praying. But you know, these are just three, and they share their testimony. And I know my testimony, I know Angel's, I know Angie's, and of just so many things where lives were changed. Because what happened at that tomb still matters today. It still has power, not just any kind of power, but the power of God. And it's available for us. Amen? And so I want to tell you why that resurrection matters, and why it matters to you, why it matters to me, why it changed Rachel's life, why it changed Mike, why it changed Josh's life. And when you see that video online, I love the end of it, because Rachel says, "My name is Rachel and I'm a miracle." Mike says, "My name is Mike, I'm a miracle." Josh says, "My name is Josh, I'm a miracle." And how many of the rest of us say, "I'm a miracle"? Amen? I am a miracle of God, because the resurrection still matters. And if you're here today and you're like, you know, I got some of those same issues. Or maybe you have, you know, I could tell you testimony, you know, God saved our marriage. That first year of marriage, I remember coming home one day and we just could not get along. I mean, just, it was bad. It was bad. You know, they say that opposites attract, you know, they attract. But then once you're married, they attack, you know? And that's how it was. It was, we're just so opposite. And I remember coming home one day and just, you know, and I was like, you know, just being a jerk, I was like, "What are you doing?" And Scott's like, "I'm figuring out what bill you're paying, what bill I'm paying, because I'm done." You know, we were like, it was bad. And, you know, we were like, who gets custody of the dog, you know? I mean, it was bad. But then we were just desperate. We were desperate, and we just cried out to the Lord. We're like, "Lord, you know, this is a one-timer. You know, we want this to last." Excuse me. "This is supposed to last forever, but, you know, I can't stand him, and he can't stand me. We need help, you know?" And you know what? God came in, and God began to mold us and began to change us. And now, 22 years later, I'm just so thankful that he didn't give me a stack of bills and say goodbye. Amen? But how did that happen? Yeah. It's God. It's God. See, and he's still so sweet to me. But here's why the resurrection matters. Here's why what happened so long ago matters to you today. Here's why we're celebrating it. It's more than a ham, if you're going to have ham for lunch. It's more than a ham. It's more than traditions. It's more than an Easter basket, although those are great. It's more, believe it or not, it's more than a Easter bunny, all right? Does anybody not know what a Easter bunny is? I just want to share a miracle of God with you. Somebody wonderful and smart and anointed made a whole Easter bunny, you ready? Out of a Reese cup. I'll leave you there. Just think about that for a second. Don't tell Brittany that I like those, though, okay? All right, here we go. Here's why the resurrection is more than just Easter tradition. And it's because of the resurrection, our past can be forgiven. And that's good news. You know, have you ever got halfway through a project and you wish you could start over? It's like painting a house or painting a room. How many have ever been watching HGTV and you're just like, I could do that? Because they make it look so easy, right? You're like, I could paint the whole house, sure, you know? And then you get halfway in, you're like, man, what was I thinking? I need to start over. And sometimes that's how we are in our life. A lot of times we feel that way about life. We get halfway through, or we get through a couple of days, or we're starting to feel like, you know, like what Rachel said, you know, she didn't even want to get out of bed. And sometimes we can have a day where we don't feel like we want to get out of bed. And then that day turns into 2 days. That 2 days turns into 2 weeks, turns into months, turns into years. And next thing you know, you're like, man, what happened? What happened? Because we've all been hurt. We've all been abused in some way, and we've all had disappointment, and stuff has happened. It's called life. But there's an answer to that. His name is Jesus. Amen? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 14, this is the good news. The gospel means good news. And it says, he has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. This is God's pardon program. He says he nailed it all to the cross. So that means that Jesus has paid for my guilt so I don't have to. He was hung for my hang-ups, you could say. Jesus was nailed to the cross, really, so you can quit nailing yourself to it. You can't pay the price. You can't do it. Only God can. And that's why the resurrection still matters. Because we all need someone bigger than ourselves. You say, well, I'm doing all right by myself. I'm doing good. Listen, there's going to come a time where something is going to happen that money cannot pay for. There's going to come a time where a hurt will hurt you so much that you feel like you're falling apart and only God can put you back together. There's going to be things that happen in our past that we have no control over. And if we don't let God heal us, they will haunt us for the rest of our days. And they will affect every relationship that we are in. The power of God is still here. He's still at work in our lives. And so why the resurrection matters is because I can be forgiven. The Bible says there's no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ. Number two thing, I'm just going to give you three and then we're going to go. The main reason the resurrection matters is because it proves Jesus is who he says it is. It matters because it means I can be forgiven. Jesus paid the price for me. And you know what? It's like, as I said this in first service, you know, you ever go to Publix and you notice they have the lights on the registers, you know, on the top, register one, register two, 20 items or less. There's always somebody in that line with 25, always, right? Are you like me? Do you secretly count when you're behind them?
Yes.
You secretly count. But the thing is that what if one of those had a free sign on it? It said free. And you could take your big old cart of groceries and you could go through there and they'd scan, and then they'd be like, you're free to go. The thing is that there'd still be people that wouldn't go through that line. There'd still be people that'd be like, ah, oh, there's a catch. There's something there. They are going to, you know, something. And you know, that's how people are with Jesus. There is no catch. People are like, oh, well, I got to quit doing this. No, you don't. Oh, well, I got to do this. No, you don't. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He didn't say, come the good people. He didn't say, come the ones who quit doing this. He didn't say, come the ones who don't cuss. And most of you guys be out there, you know. He didn't say that. He said, come. Anybody can come. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you are, what you've done, how you live, who you live with. Doesn't matter. He said, come. It's just like at Publix, that line, if it said free, we could go through there and it's like we got this big cart of sin, big cart of mistakes. And you can either pay for your own or you can go through the free line. You can go through the Jesus line. I don't know about you, but all my stuff won't fit in a cart. I got to get one of those big things from Costco, you know? I got to get one of those and probably have to get two, bring them up. It's all me, baby. It's all me. But you know what? Jesus said he paid for that. All my sins can be forgiven. And here the number second reason why the resurrection impacts me, it means I have the power to change my life. Just like Rachel did, just like Mike, just like Josh. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20 says, how incredibly great is his power. What's it for? To help those who believe him. His power is to help you. It's not to condemn you. It's not to make you feel bad about yourself. It's not to tell you all the wrong in your life. That is not who God is. And if that's what you think, you're hearing from the wrong people. You know, if you hear something about me, I'd appreciate it if you'd come to the source. Because believe it or not, there are people who said things about me that aren't true. Just like there's probably people that said things about you that aren't true. And so you always go to the source. And so before you start saying, oh, God is this and God is that, go to the source and find out who he really is. Because all his power is to help those who believe him. And you know what power it is? It's not like just a little Duracell. No, it's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power that enabled Jesus to rise from his death will help you rise from whatever is dead in your life. Romans 8:11 says that God is giving life to our mortal bodies. Yeah. Whatever's not working, whatever's dead, whatever is lost, whatever needs to be found, that resurrection power brings life to it. That's why it matters. Philippians 4:13 says, I love this, says, I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. Why does the resurrection still matter? Because I've made mistakes and somebody's got to pay for them. And Jesus said he will, and he did. It means all my sin can be forgiven, not just covered up to be exposed later, but forgiven, removed from me, the Bible says. It matters because there's areas in my life, and I'm sure areas in your life, where we need some help. And it matters because Jesus said that when he rises, we all rise. Amen? He said, I'm not doing this just for me. It's for you. It's for you. And then lastly, why the resurrection matters is because of what Jesus did. It means that my future can be secure. One of the universal problems that we all have is death. Everybody dies. It's a one in one. And you say, that's not very uplifting, but it's the truth. All of our lives will end. There's nobody walking around the earth that's, you know, 800 years old, right? Why? Because we all, our lives end. And so when we think about that, one of the questions people ask a lot is, what's going to happen when I die? What's it going to be like? And one day, when we die, and this is true, whether we believe it or not, it's still true. One day when we die, we're all going to stand before God. We're going to stand before him, and we're going to need to know the right answers. And so here's what the Bible says about the future. Number one, it says that heaven is a perfect place, that it's real, it's legitimate, and it's total perfection. It's a perfect place. Number two, it says, in order for you to go there, you have to be perfect. Because only perfect people get into heaven. Look around. We're in trouble. This would leave all of us out. Because we'd never make it if we have to be perfect. Because we've all messed up. Now, I said this in first service, and they got all worried, so I changed a little bit. But I think you guys can handle it. You look like you can handle it. There are two ways to get to heaven. One is the performance plan. To be perfect, right? If you're perfect, then you have no sin. But how many look to your right, look to your left? How many know that's not going to work? To earn it, you have to have never sinned your entire life. That means when your friend got that really bad hairdo and you're like, no, it's great. It's great. You're out. You're out. Because you're like, oh, I was just trying to be nice. You lied. You lied. You know, when you're like, oh, I'm busy, you know, whatever. And you're really not. You're out. So how many know this performance plan is not going to work? It's not going to work for us. Not going to work. And we have to always make the right decision. Always say the right thing. Never the wrong thing. We got to be perfect. And you know, none of us are going to do that. And so since none of us qualify for that plan, and that's the law, Jesus came. He said, you need me. You need me. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was the only perfect person who has ever lived because he was God. He came so we would know what God is like. And so the Christian, what I want to encourage you that when we're talking about heaven and we're talking about receiving Jesus, a Christian is not somebody who accepts religion. It's not about religion. A Christian is somebody who has a relationship with God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are some who think that they're going to get to heaven by service. You think if I do all the good things and work my way there, but unfortunately that doesn't work. Some people try salvation by subtraction. If you give up a bunch of things, then you'll get to heaven. If you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't cuss, well, there you guys are all out. I'm kidding. I kid. Kinda. If being a Christian was a matter of not doing things, then anybody who's dead would qualify to be a Christian because dead people don't do anything. Right? And so it's not by subtraction. That's just trying to earn your way in. Some people think that they're going to get to heaven by ritual. They say, well, if I get baptized, then I'll have a relationship with the Lord. Or if I was, you know, baptized as a baby or whatever. You can get baptized in the ocean until every fish knows your name, but if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to work. One of my favorites is salvation by heritage. Oh, my! When you talk to people, you know, whenever people find out I'm a Christian, they immediately want to ask me a lot of questions. And so I'll talk to them, I'll say, and immediately they tell me every family member they know that goes to church. If people say, hey, what do you do for a living? I'll be like, oh, I'm a pastor. They're like, oh, you know, my great-grandmother goes to church. Oh, my sister goes to church. That has nothing to do with you. We don't, it's not by heritage. It's not because your grandma goes, your mom goes. No, that's not how it works either. It's a personal decision. Some people think it's salvation by comparison. You look to the person on your right, you're like, I'm better than you. I'm getting in, you know? But what if the person on your left is better than you? Comparison doesn't work. I'm better than that person or this person. No, Christ said, this is the way to eternal life. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, he said, we have been born again into a life full of hope through Christ rising from the dead. Yeah. And so what difference does Easter make? Why does the resurrection still matter? Because he is the way to heaven. He is the way to power on earth. He is the way to have our sins forgiven. He is the way. Amen? Your background might be Catholic. It might be Jewish. It might be Protestant. It might be Mormon. It might be Buddhist. It might be Baptist. I don't care what your background is. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and anybody can have one. Jesus said, come. Come. You don't have to straighten up. You don't have to do any of that. Jesus is a now God. Yes. And some people think, oh, I'll do it. No. Jesus is now. You need what he has now. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. All for you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here today. No matter what their background is, no matter where they're from, Lord, I pray that they recognize that you love them and that you want a relationship with them. You might be sitting here today and you may still have some questions. Well, the great news is you don't have to have everything figured out to begin a relationship with Jesus. You know, I don't know how electricity works, but I still use it every day. I don't have all the answers. And you may not have all the answers to Jesus. But if you want to begin your relationship with Jesus today, and every day you'll receive more answers because God loves you and he wants to answer them. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your heritage. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter what you've subtracted from your life. Jesus said, I am the way. That's why he came, to make the way for you and I to have relationship with God. If you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and begin a relationship with him, I'm just going to ask you to do two things. The first is raise your hand. And you don't raise your hand to me. You raise your hand to God. I love what a friend of mine says, Rod Baker. He says, when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. It's putting action to a decision. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And secondly, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer with all of us. We'll all say it with you. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you or put you on the spot in any way. But let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus. Say yes to having all your sin forgiven. Say yes to receiving the same power that raised Jesus from the dead operating in your life. Say yes to knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven to spend eternity with God when you die. Say yes and begin a new life with him. So if you're here today and you say, I want to do that today, Peggy, I'm going to count to three and I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please, just out of respect for people, this is between them and God. They don't need you staring at them. So if that's you, on the count of three, just say yes to Jesus and raise your hand. One, two, three. Oh, I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. I see your hand over there. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've already been here. I've already done this. But I've gotten away from God. But today I want to take a step back. I say this all the time. You can go 1,000 steps away from God, but he's always one step back. If you need to take a step back into relationship with God the Father, a recommit. You say, Lord, I've been doing my own thing. But I want to spend more time with you. I want you to be in my life more. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, I'm rededicating. I see your hand, man. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Let's all say this prayer together for the sake of those who raise their hand. The really great thing about being in the family of God is that you're never alone again. And so let's say this together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I believe that, and I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I give him all of me, all of my strengths, all of my weaknesses, in exchange for all of him. In Jesus' name, I'm born again. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God so good? God is good. I encourage you. Church is part of your spiritual journey. And one of the things that these miracle testimonies that all of them have in common is that they let people walk the journey with them. You're not supposed to do this journey alone. And so I just encourage you, get plugged in, get hooked up. If this isn't your home church, get plugged in and hooked up in your home church, because we need one another. Amen. We need somebody to support us when we're not doing that great, and we need to support them. Amen? Yeah. And that's one of the best parts of church. And so another part of church is we receive an offering at the end of every service. And the key word there is receive. We don't take it. It's not a stick up. We receive it. And we have a saying here at BBC, which we live by. We say we give because we want to, not because we have to. And if you don't want to, what do we say? Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. We'll still come visit you in the hospital. We'll still pray for you. You can still be part of the church. That's A-okay. But offerings are for people who want to give. And so let's just get ready to give to the Lord and honor him. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity.